Unlike gefitinib, erlotinib, and lapatinib, these natural alternatives come without severe side effects. Chloroquine may hold the key to preventing resistance to both EGFR and HER2 targeted treatments. See macropinocytosis, and for many aggressive cancers. Interleukin 1 and 6, PGE2. These inflammatory cytokines release COX, cyclooxygenase, an enzyme that fuels growth, but it can be neutralized by a non-steroidal anti-inflammatory, NSAID. Treatment. Either aspirin or a stronger type. Initially, I used aspirin and then switched to Etodolac for 3 months. I never took the two together, as the stronger non-steroidal would cancel out the antiplatelet effects of the aspirin and raise the risk of stomach bleed significantly. Today, I continue to take a daily 75 milligrams of aspirin as part of my prevention strategy and only use the stronger NSAID occasionally and only with a meal. PPAR gamma, peroxisome proliferator activated receptor gamma. This is a receptor in the nucleus that is a master controller of fatty acid storage and glucose metabolism. When Wnt signaling is upregulated, PPAR gamma is downregulated. This occurs in many cancers. The PPAR gamma also controls inflammation and insulin, which makes it important to regulate in all metabolic disorders, including cancer. It is the target for several diabetic drugs. The glitazones, which reduce insulin resistance and increase insulin sensitivity, but they have significant side effects. Statins, berberine, and another natural extract called honokiol activate PPAR gamma. It is also partly activated by ibuprofen. Whilst they work, these are a bit like sticky plasters for activating this receptor. The root problem is linked to low gut flora, bifidobacteria in particular, and not enough fish oils, omega-3, vitamins A and D, and omega-7. Once you have worked out which of these abnormal cell signals are applicable to your cancer, you can get to the hub of your treatment, how to starve it. Chapter 22. How to Starve Cancer. Treatments for the abnormal cell metabolism. It would be nice to think that you could stop the abnormal metabolism in the tumor with just a handful of drugs and supplements, and not bother with the exercise and diet. But from what I have witnessed, this is just not possible or wise. Those that make the effort to cut out the appropriate fuel source, mostly glucose, from their diet, are the ones who do the best. Starving cancer, I believe, is the most important step to treat cancer. Once starved, it is weak and vulnerable. Then kill it. Boom. Although this is a radical new approach to defeating cancer, evidence is mounting fast to support this idea. It is not about starving the body, although fasting intermittently helps. It is about targeting the tumor with drugs, such as metformin to reduce glucose and statins to reduce its ability to make cholesterol. I often hear, "I have normal cholesterol levels, I don't need a statin." But this is missing the point. They reject statins for the wrong reasons. Statins work. They starve cancer. There is a ton of evidence. If you doubt this, type in your cancer, e.g. melanoma plus statin plus PubMed, into a Google search. So how does the abnormal metabolism happen? More science alert. Skip this section if this is not your thing. The abnormal cell signals, especially prolonged IL-6, inflammation, and TLR signaling, pathogens, triggers something called STAT3 in the cell through activation of tiny little RNA strands called microRNA. that take epigenetic environmental information from the cell membrane into the cell. STAT3 is a transcription factor. STAT3 talks to the genes of the cell, and this leads to an alteration in their expression, e.g. overexpression of RAS and AKT. An upregulation of these genes, they do not have to be mutated, they just become overexpressed, triggers an excess production of acetyl-CoA. Acetyl-CoA is a central node both for generating new daughter cells and for its role in regulating gene expression. It is the principal building block for the generation of fatty acids, sterols, amino acids, and nucleotides needed for manufacture of the daughter cells. The cancer cell will use whatever fuel is available in the primary tumor site to maintain its growth and specialize its metabolism to grow. Excess production of acetyl-CoA leads to acetylation of the DNA histones, the scaffold surrounding the DNA, which alters the polarity of the DNA. Acetylation has the effect of neutralizing the electrical potential from positive to neutral, so that histones are no longer attracted to their polar opposite, allowing the DNA strands to part or loosen, and thereby allowing carcinogens and viruses to enter the DNA or to become reactivated. Genetic mutations then result. In other words, carcinogens pour fuel on the fire. The Metro Map. It has taken me a lot of time to research which treatments and pipelines are the best to target, but here it is, your route map to guide you to the drugs, supplements, and therapies you need to starve your own cancer, no matter the type or stage of disease. My Metro Map represents the metabolically flexible cancer stem cell present in every cancer, able to shift its different nutrient supply routes, with some routes easier to block off than others. Like the underground and the overground at Piccadilly Circus, there are two separate systems in a tumor, each behaving very differently and representing two different types of cancer cells, fast-dividing cells and cancer stem cells, quite distinct and requiring two completely different approaches to treatment. My Metro Map has not only helped me work out how the cancer cell is feeding itself, but it is much easier for the patient to visualize what is going on. Bit by bit, as I researched and added more fuel lines, I have gradually worked out how cancer rewires its metabolism. I have been able to see beyond the complexity of the disease and unravel much of its mystery. I no longer think of cancer as impossible to cure. I believe all that is required is to attack the stem cells with the right cocktail alongside the fast-dividing cells. This differs slightly in each cancer type, depending on how it has specialized its metabolism. Cancer will adapt how it feeds itself to the fuel available in the location of the primary tumor as it develops. So the clues to starving and defeating cancer lie in determining what fuel it is using. You will need to work out your cancer's metabolic phenotype. This you can do with the aid of PubMed articles and a helpful oncologist. As you search, type in words from each metro fuel line, e.g. HER2 breast cancer plus chloroquine or macropinocytosis, working through each fuel line in turn. It might take you half an hour or so, e.g. a search reveals that adding chloroquine works for HER2 breast cancer patients, so this type of cancer uses macropinocytosis to scavenge extracellular protein and fat. However, there are two problems with this. 1. Researchers are only just working out each cancer's metabolic phenotype, so not all the information may be available yet, but you can get a good idea of the major fuel pipelines and whether it is driven by glucose, glutamine, or fat. 2. Once you have worked out the fuel lines that need blocking how to get hold of the drugs you need. Unable to obtain the drugs from either their oncologist or their GP, I have little doubt patients will start up buyers' clubs, much like the HIV patients had to do in the 1980s. Remember the film? Although this will be frowned upon by the establishment, why shouldn't a patient try and save their life? If they have been told there is nothing more that can be done, why should they have to meekly go home to die? Metabolic pathways. Glucose pathways. GLUT1 equals glucose transporter 1. Insulin, PP pathway, equals pentose phosphate pathway. OxPhos equals oxidative phosphorylation. Aerobic glycolysis. Glutamine amino acid pathways. IGF-1 equals insulin-like growth factor 1. GLN OxPhos equals glutamine oxidative phosphorylation. mTOR equals mammalian target of rapamycin. Macropinocytosis, autophagy. Nucleoside salvage, autophagy. Glutaminolysis, acetate pathway. Fatty acid pathways. SREBP1 equals sterol regulating end binding protein 1. SREBP2 equals sterol regulating end binding protein 2. ACLY equals ATP citrate lyase. FAS equals fatty acid synthesis. FAO equals fatty acid oxidation. Mevalinate pathway. Treatments. MET equals metformin. TAM equals tamoxifen. BERB equals berberine. Doxy equals doxycycline. NICL equals niclosamide. CHLQ equals chloroquine. LRTD equals loratadine. DPM equals dipridamol. EGCG equals epigallocatechin gallate. URS equals ursolic acid. CUR equals curcumin. RES equals resveratrol. LASP equals asparaginase. BPTES equals BIS-2-5-phenylacetamido. 1-2-4 thiadiazole 2 il ethyl sulfide. MIL equals mildrenate. IVC equals intravenous vitamin C. 2DG equals 2-deoxyglucose. DCA equals dichloroacetate. 3BP equals 3-bromopyruvate. Low GI equals low glycemic diet. CHR equals chromium picolinate. QUERC equals quercetin. These words may be medical mumbo-jumbo to you, but it really doesn't matter if you don't fully understand each pathway or how they work. The sad truth is, oncologists don't know about them either. Yet. But what you do need to understand is that to starve your cancer and obliterate the cancer stem cell, it is critical these pipelines are blocked off. And this can be achieved mostly by using low-toxicity drugs and supplements that won't kill you in the process. Hurrah! My Metro map shows the major routes a cancer stem cell takes to feed itself. The altered metabolism in cancer is far more complex than just aerobic glycolysis. Otto Warburg was only partly right with his discovery in 1924, as these pathways demonstrate. Although I show these pathways as separate, there is crosstalk between them, and not every route is exclusively blocking one nutrient macro. For example, mevalinate not only stops the production of cholesterol, it stops protein prenylation too. but for simplicity's sake,